serve until
somebody's appointed.
Somebody's appointed. Okay. Yeah. So that would be the. And then this evening.
But he shouldn't be elected.
Exactly. Yeah. So tonight, we have a quorum, and we know that we can't nominate somebody who's not here. So I have some prompts just in case he needs any prompting. I do have some prompts for him to kind of start going through that election process.
I made that bar for us. I hear your name all the time.
Hello.
Just do file. Do like file view or view, excuse me, view full screen.
I am Barbara.
Good.
Yeah. That was the best.
Driving.
Make sure that it's green. You guys talk.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk with Isabel. You here?
Yeah, it's literally just up and down. Yeah. And just make sure that light is green if you guys are going to talk. If you want to point something out, button in the center. You guys can talk. And then the discussion with the board. Okay? If you guys have any questions.
Yes.
Layout for serials used, timeline, stuff like that. But no, they shouldn't take you apart. You're just having a discussion, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Are you here?
Mics. Okay. I think we're ready to start. Thank you for coming. Just to give you an overview of the DAP's responsibility, our goal is to review projects from both site and architectural perspectives, offer recommendations and suggestions on the improvement of design quality. Our recommendations go therefore to the Director of Planning and Zoning, who will make an ultimate decision on what the outcome of those decisions might be and how it may impact your project. We would start out with your presentation. We have a staff summary after that. We will be open for comments and questions. And then the staff the panel has the option to make formal motions as regarding those recommendations. The first thing we would do is ask you to introduce. We'll introduce ourselves, and then we ask you to introduce yours. Fred?
Did you introduce?
No, you go ahead. Turn me in.
Fred Marino, I'm an architect.
And I'm Don Taylor, I'm an architect too.
Bob Gorman, I'm a planner and a landscape architect.
Larry Quarick, I'm a landscape architect.
Juan Rodriguez, civil engineer.
Nicholas Haynes, I work with Department of Planning and Zoning.
Val Lasden's Planning Director.
Jeff Delmonico, Planning and Zoning.
Lisa O'Brien, Howard County Office of Law.
Prafull Patel, engineer.
Yeah, we are from Arenco LLC. He's the structural engineer. He's the owner. I'm the principal architect. My name is Ashok Ambadekar.
Okay, welcome. Please proceed with your presentation.
Okay, let's start with the plan. Okay, what we have here is a existing small building, which is in operation currently as a medical dispensary, medical facility. Because it's on the Route 40 corridor and a lot of new buildings are coming in the vicinity, the owner wanted to give some visibility to his building. And that's all we are doing. We are not doing any addition, any renovation to the basic plan for the building. All we are doing is putting stucco on the exterior, raising the roof by 5 feet or so, parapet, not raising the roof, putting the parapet so it looks a little taller. It gives a visibility. And some stonework that you see just to embellish the just the plain stucco facade. And the color is, that's the color we are suggesting. You want to go to the... So we are going to show you all the four sides of the buildings.
This is the right side of the building.
That's the rear.
The rear side. And this is the left side.
So the first one is from the Route 40 that people see, isn't it?
No, this one is on the Route 40.
Okay.
You can see. But it's a little on an angle, so it can be front and both on left can be seen from the Route 40.
Can you the site plan? Maybe they can get an idea. Yeah. So, we are not use this. Can I just go there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just going to get up. So, this is our building right here. That's what we are.
Is the next building to the bottom of the slide there, is that the Exxon gas station? On the right. That's the Exxon, side, right? Yes, that's Exxon. Okay. Yes, yes. Okay.
You want to show them the stone that we are proposing? That's not part of it. There are various samples that we were looking at for the stonework. And do you want to see or would you have any say what kind of stonework we should use? It's just a stone veneer that matches the
it's the
color of the
stone. Stuff.
Yeah.
And the rest is stucco. Drive it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It may have little texture, you know, it's not like a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically, that's our presentation for your review.
Okay. Thank you. A couple questions. The
Mr. Chairman.
No, I'm sorry. This is a recession of mine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the panel. The Department of Planning and Zoning has issued its staff comments to both the applicant and the panel regarding Nature's Medicines. As the presentation you just heard stated, this 21,780 square foot project is zoned B2 and located at the 10169 Baltimore National Pike. The applicant proposes to implement facade renovations to the existing commercial office building. This renovation will include removal of a fabric canopy, construction of a new parapet roof, and revised exterior paint. Exterior materials include stucco, stone finish along the bottom wall and edges leading up to the parapet roof. The Department of Planning and Zoning has not received any public comments regarding this development. The department requests that the DAP evaluate this project development project by focusing on the following key areas relating to the Route 40 design manual. Recommendations on how the plan relates to and interfaces with Route 40. This includes landscaping, hardscaping, furnishings, fixtures, parking, and walls. Recommendations on road and sidewalk circulation, pedestrian pathways, and off-site connections. Recommendations regarding edge treatment, screening, and transitions along the patio area. And recommendations on the architecture, its scale, building materials, and possible sustainable design elements. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Since there apparently is little or no change in the site plan, just in the building skin, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me our comments will have to be limited to the architecture that you're presenting here. The question I had was, there's some square elements on the face of the building. Are those relief in stucco, or what's
it's
the...
It's a different color, actually, in stucco.
Just a different color, just to break the monotony of the plain wall there.
I mean, it's a couple of things from a scale and proportion standpoint. I find the accent stone on the corners of the towers really out of character with the building. I think the base water table being stone, hopefully on at least three sides of the building, might be in keeping. The accentuation of the tower with the stone, I just don't find appropriate. The height of the building, although I understand the premise of drawing attention to the building, again, proportionally just doesn't seem correct to me. It seems higher than it ought to be. You're exaggerating the point. The scale of the tower on the right, I think, is too slender. If anything, the height of that tower should drop down maybe very close to the standard parapet. I think it just needs to be massaged a little bit to soften the impact of this building. I understand the goal is to get more attention. If you want to do that, I think also the elevation facing Route 40 needs to be dealt with in a better way. I mean, some canopies on this facade, awning, something to give it a commercial appeal might be in order. So I'll open it up to the rest of the panel for comments.
Is there any signage that you're planning for the building or freestanding?
No, there is one existing freestanding sign over there on the Route 40 side.
It's already there. You're just going to change the name.
It's going to change it though, right? After this is done.
That's not going to change, probably. But the one right now, they already have the Nature's medicine sign.
I believe at the end of the existing building. At the end of this presentation, I believe the signage that what you were proposing is at the end here.
That's the existing sign right now there on the building.
And that'll be replaced on the building?
That's going to be replaced on the same.
Okay. So the side that faces Route 40 now has a lot of signage on it saying now opened, proud to be Ellicott City, that type of stuff. So that'll all be removed because that facade currently has a lot of signage right on the building.
I think it's going to be removed, yes.
So the only signage.
The only thing that they have, like an existing signage, that this one on the building and on the Route 40 side, there is a metal, a steel post, you know, and then there's
right.
a sign over there.
Okay.
That's all going
to
be made.
I just want to make sure because currently you're using the building facade as a place to showcase shine at signage.
Yes.
Are you planning on any landscaping at all?
Right now, I don't think so.
What's out there now? Anything?
I mean, right now I think got a few trees probably, and then it's all Route 40 side and everyone a little bit of grass.
So the Route 40 design guidelines should apply here. Am I correct? Right.
Think so.
And regardless of whether or not you're doing, you're changing the footprint of the building, the guidelines are clear in terms of what we would want to see continued along Route 40 here, i.e., looking at the aerial you brought up, you know, the sidewalks end at your site. Is there an opportunity to continue the sidewalk? We all know in retail, certainly too much vegetation, too much landscape is a hindrance to people seeing your retail establishment from the road. But certainly there is an opportunity for some trees with some higher growth that's higher so that people can still see your establishment. The intent behind the Route 40 design guidelines is to make Route 40 better than it is now. And I'm afraid that if you do what you're suggesting, you're not making it any better. And I'll agree with my colleagues here. I live in the neighborhood, so I know the scale of this building, what you're suggesting, is really going to be I think, architecturally inappropriate. I think that, you know, and even the materials you suggest, I think, are okay. It's just the coloration that I'm seeing in your renderings and how that fits in with the Route 40 corridor, particularly your neighbors on either side. You know, you've got the bank there. You've got the Beef Brothers building that's kind of all retail. But yet it's not a orange building with a bunch of towers on each end of it. And to me, architecturally, when you do towers, there's a reason you do towers, i.e. to denote something that's going on architecturally inside the building with, behind the tower. Or, you know, if you did one, maybe it's better than doing it at both ends of the building. And I have a problem with the fact that you're increasing the height of this building so much more than what it is now. The scale of it, as my colleague said, you may want to go back and look at the adjacent structure, for instance, the retail building and then the bank. I think it's a Columbia Bank over there. And take more cues from that in terms of the scale proportions and coloration of your building, and then go back and you know, somehow, even on that side facade, if you go back to your elevation, the one that faces Route 40, you know, you need to do something on that facade. That that's your image of your building on Route 40, and frankly, that's pretty cold, and it doesn't, I don't believe, address what the intent behind the Route 40 design guidelines were. I realize your building is turned 90 degrees to the road, as are the bank, and as is the retail center next door, and even as is the gas station, but there's an opportunity here for you all to make something better facing Route 40. And even, as I said, with a sidewalk, you know, I'm sure there's an opportunity there for some signage. I don't know. And again, to me, I look at the rendering, and it's partly maybe because of the way you're rendering it. It looks like an orange building, and I don't think that's contextual with the neighborhood over there. If you were to do something, you know, a splash of color somewhere, kind of like what's across the street on the Goodwill, you know, they do a little bit of splash of color, but there's still some other elements. So I think, I agree with my colleagues, I think you need to go back and take a look at the Route 40 design guidelines, do something on the site in terms of some landscape, some sidewalk, and then go back and look at the design of your building. And even if you turn to go to your next elevation, it's the front elevation of the building, that one there. I can't even tell what's going on with this design. I don't even know where the front door is, frankly. I mean, I see a door over there.
The left side is a front door.
Okay, well, I think you need to go back and take another look at it.
Currently, it's existing there.
Yeah, I know. And go back to your photograph. That would help us understand, you know, what it looks like now, because I think what you have now, what exists, proportion, scale, and, you know, if you almost were to start with that and then and not make it so much more like a monument, which is what I see in your rendering. So anyway, that's just my thoughts.
I mean, let me just reinforce that comment. I think on the element on the corner that faces Route 40, if that wants to be a tower or some feature element, I don't think it needs to be as dramatic, but I think what you need to do is to turn the corner so that your building has a face on Route 40. This is an end. And that seems to me the place for the signage. When you drive down Route 40, I want to know what this building is, and I can't see it if the sign's on the other side. So, but there's an opportunity here to turn that corner. Instead of maybe the tower, there's some sort of a canopy that comes around the corner so that it at least emulates an entrance to the building. If it's not on this facade, at least you know there's a door somewhere around the corner. So I think I think you need to look at it in another perspective and think of it as a building as seen from Route 40 and not from the parking lot. And as what Fred says, I think the scale of the building needs to be dropped. I think it's the parapet's just out of scale. I mean, there's too much wall and no windows, if you know what I mean.
When you look at the aerial, right? Even your neighbor across the street, they got the Goodwill's got that one element that's the blue element, right? It says, "This is who we are. It's our identity." And yet, the rest of the building is sort of a backdrop to it. Your building you know, could do something like that. And then also going back to the Route 40 design guidelines, that facade is really important to address Route 40 and make Route 40 look better than it does.
And just one other thing, there is some landscape in what you're calling the front of the building now. Like they're just low shrubs, but still it helps break up that, you know, facade and give some, you know, welcoming sort of planter area. So it doesn't have to be tall trees or anything, but on the side of the parking lot, I think you can put, you know, some low shrubbery. And also you need to be careful how you render the building, because you're showing, when I saw that, I thought it was like oval-type stones, and when you show the stone you're actually using, it's more horizontal. So if that's what you're using, then just make sure that that's indicated on the building, because this gives you kind of a false impression as to what the stone is going to look like.
As I said, the materials, I think, that you talk about sound reasonable. My colleague is saying it's not represented in your elevation, so it's hard for us to say that's okay or not.
It's the computer graphics these days.
Understood, but there's other computer graphics.
I know.
Well, I agree with the panel about the building scale and how big, how tall it is in relationship with the windows. So I don't have any comments other than that. I agree with the panel.
Just to be clear, you're not changing the footprint at all.
No.
You're not increasing your parking, your stormwater. None of that's changing. Although, looking at this plan, which is another thing that's hard to understand from what you're drawing here, it looks like you might be adding some roof area with those towers. I can't tell if that's what you're doing there or not. In other words, it looks like they're projections, right? So that
would be
the projection, like on the top of the canopy, that, you know, just sticking out like a foot.
So it's just like a
on the top. But
is that 3 feet over 3 feet 10 or something?
No, that is like a total width of the total cap on the top.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? I'd like to make a motion that you go back and reconsider the architectural design of the building, taking in light the comments from the panel, and also seriously look at the Route 40 manual and its requirements, and then at your pleasure come back to us and show us what your outcome might be. Okay?
Sure.
Those in favor of that motion?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you very much. Next applicant is up.
Folks, ready?
Hi, good evening.
Hey. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I don't know if we need to introduce ourselves. You know us.
Yep.
You were here not long ago. So just let me ask you to reintroduce yourselves again to the panel and to the audience, and we'll proceed with your presentation.
Thank you. I'm Joe Rutter with Land Design and Development.
I'm Frank Manlanson with Fisher, Collins, and Carter.
And we didn't bring the architect back. Do you seem comfortable with the actual architectural design of the buildings, but we've tried to address the other comments that you made at the last meeting, and Frank's going to go through those. And then based on, I guess, some of the commentary from the last time, I'd like to just put into the record some comments about the general plan once Frank deals with the details.
Good evening, everyone. We went back, took the DAP recommendations, comments back to our office, met with staff, met with land design development, and came up with a couple scenarios which we shared with land design development, and then we moved forward from there. On our staff, we have about 35 people, a good portion of them are licensed professionals, surveyor, engineers, landscape architect. We shared the information with those guys, and we had the benefit of having some of the guys who worked on previous plan submissions on Jordan Overlook, who did a lot to meet, have some background on the stormwater management questions, and we were able to get a little more data about that. It was a concern, both by the DAP, or Design Advisory Panel, and the community as well, that we'll share as we go through. I did want to reiterate that this is an R20 zoning. I didn't want to go through all the history of it. I think everyone knows, but one of the conditional uses of R20 is active adult, and that's what we're proceeding with. It has its own unique regulations, one of which is the requirement for 20 units minimum. The existing slide we've seen before, everyone knows the site. I did want to note the topography. The site as it sits kind of has a plateau in the middle and drains away both to the east and west, and that was one of the triggers that came out during some of the initial reviews to suggest taking that drainage and moving it away from the surrounding properties. So I just wanted everyone to move the topo. And we keep that big red X on that building. But this aerial photo gives you a good idea of the vegetation that can be out there, the amount of it, how much it will have to be removed for this development to move forward. So I just wanted everyone to be able to see it. And this is the redesign. The stormwater management over here is very preliminary at this stage. Our expectation is that we're going to be asked to do quality stormwater management with some bioretention facilities, dry wells, very typical of what we're seeing these days. But it's somewhat difficult to see, but around the periphery of the project itself is a swale on the west and some storm drain going around the east. And these are remnants of what was provided before when we did, when this project moved through Development Engineering Division. The idea was to take some of this drainage leading towards neighbors, send it towards the floodplain, down towards Little Patapsco. I'm assuming some of these drainage items are outside of the typical scope of these meetings, but it was a concern for everybody. But this had a lot of scrutiny through Development Engineering Division. We added a cul-de-sac as a based on a comment from last meeting, but there were several comments about the road layout itself. Working with staff at FCC, after going through a couple iterations, FCC is just not comfortable moving the road to the west in any way. The terrain does drop off significantly. It makes for difficult drainage issues, difficult stormwater management issues. And the location of the road now allows for the ability to walk out of these units, which we believe will keep the limit of disturbance to a minimum, reducing the need to take away some of the surrounding vegetation. And ultimately, we'd like to maintain the silo and the foundation around it, what I term as the ruins. It's not a bad looking feature. They're in the slides we presented before. We don't expect any retaining walls in the back with the ability to walk out. Should work well with the grades as they sit today. To the west, we're expecting typical in-ground units. Walking it out would probably really gouge it down significantly, and the drainage would start to look silly. The units, we had a larger stick of units across the top, two of them, and we switched those to a three-unit villa from, a six-unit stick. And then in discussion amongst ourselves and through some of the comments we received, the duplexes along the bottom seemed to be recommended at the meeting. It seemed like it was everybody was open to it, and it was a good pick. The unit count went up a unit based on that, but the footprint went down, excluding the cul-de-sac, which has gone up a little bit bigger in size. We did pull the clubhouse down to the end. I don't know if the discussion in our office is, does the larger bubble kind of dwarf it at that point, as opposed to a building dwarfing it. I guess it's a matter of taste. But it does give us the ability to do a little more landscaping, and I believe someone used a sense of arrival. So maybe there's some real dress-up they could do. The clubhouse is kept small. The client wants to do the opposite of an amenity-rich community. He wanted to keep the amenities toned down so that the HOA dues are lower for people who do their activities outside of their neighborhood, as opposed to something like Waverly, where they would be inside. The landscaping shown here, we received a comment relating to the landscaping. I get myself in trouble with this, but on the conditional use plan that we take to the next step, we show what I'll call the technical compliance, or the meeting of requirements, but the developers assured me his intention is to landscape beyond the requirements, but wanted to show what the base landscaping looked like. We selected a bunch more varieties, had some help from the landscape architects in the office, picked items they thought they would work better, and I believe we're trying to maintain as much of the existing vegetation as possible. The trick would be what the requirements are around the perimeter with stormwater management and how much construction would be required to put in either pipe or swale. A slight change to the overall site section, but you can see the walkout on the other side and how we're limiting that grade going away. This is some of the trees we'll have out there, and some of the furniture you'll see on the site. We don't expect to be doing a whole lot of things besides some sitting areas, possibly an entrance feature, but I also added, and I think I've showed you guys about six times now, this typical bio I had. And then this is a rendering of the layout itself. I did want to mention that I've read some of the community comments, and someone mentioned that this is probably kind of a poor representation. We were trying to show the area, how it affects the vegetation, but it does give the impression that all the vegetation will remain. There is construction associated with, putting those perimeter diversion tactics in for the water, but based on the developers' comments to me, they want to fill those areas back up with trees and vegetation after they meet the base requirements of the landscape manual. And this was the silo, and these are the remaining slides from the. I think it was the plan view that was the real concern. I can run through the other slides, or Joe can if you want, but I think that's what the main crust of the concerns were. Did you have anything to add, Joe?
No, I think just to, again, emphasize on the size of the clubhouse, there was comments about it's not big enough, it needs to be bigger, but the counter, and as we said the last time, we've left that at the 500 square feet, which is the size that would be required for 21 units, and we're trying to minimize the cost of the association dues that would maintain these facilities, so that's really driving the entire project, and that's the intent, is to comp- comply with all regulations, but to not put in facilities that are larger than necessary. We're within Columbia, there's always the opportunity to avail ourselves of the CA facilities that are in the area. And that's why these infill projects are designed the way they are. So it, I have, I'm going to go over here and hand this out. When I saw the comments that came in from the community, I thought it was appropriate and necessary to just, and what you have in front of you is a cut and paste from the general plan. It's not editorialized in any way. It is totally just a cut and paste. And General Plan 2030 followed up on General Plan 2000, which... There weren't 30 years difference. 2030 was done in 2012, and the 2000 plan was done in 2000. The 2000 plan was really the major initiative to look back at infill development and redevelopment within the urban area. Subsequent to the 2000 general plan, the state smart growth regulations were put in place, which mandated higher densities than what Howard County was achieving. And so General Plan 2030, as it's titled in 2012, recognized those things. And just so for everyone, a couple of the provisions, key issue in General Plan 2020, the county will continue to develop new models to provide sustainable, affordable housing in mixed-income communities, educate both the home seekers and the general public on the many benefits of compact, mixed-use, location-efficient homes. State vision, a range of housing densities, types, and sizes provides residential options for citizens of all ages and incomes. In the county context, special consideration must also be given to expanding housing choice for growing senior the growing senior citizen population and residents living with disabilities. Howard County has a wide variety of housing. The density designs and limited land resources and the county policies are shifting to focus from past patterns where single-family detached homes dominated to a current mix that includes more townhouses and apartments, a trend that can help increase affordable housing choices. Diversity in the new housing types. Housing experts state that within the next 20 years, over 60% of new housing demand will be for multifamily dwelling units. Some of this demand shift reflects the increasing ratio of smaller households, including seniors. There's a changing attitudes of the seniors in particular about home ownership. Older residents will need housing that accommodates their lifestyles. The suburban single-family detached home is associated typically with a nuclear family of parents and children. However, the population of Howard County, just as a nation, is diversifying with a trend towards smaller households, particularly as the population ages. Consequently, a single-family detached house is no longer preferred by many households. Smaller-sized housing will be in greater demand in the future. Demographic shifts align well with the decreasing availability of land for the traditional single-family detached home and increased emphasis on planning for more compact, higher-density residential development. That townhouse developments will be a greater portion of the new homes in the county in the future. Housing for seniors and individuals with disabilities is a whole separate section of the plan. Includes nearly 20% of Howard County residents will be over the age of 65 by 2030, which is a 127% increase of that age group currently residing in the county, which would have been 2012.
The county housing stock should support the aging population. Promote diverse senior housing for those who that wish or need to downsize to more easily maintain units as they age. The policy should also continue to support seniors who choose to age in place in their own homes or their own communities. Critical for those that want to relocate from a large family home to a home that is smaller with less maintenance and with a bedroom on the first floor, county housing stock should include options that are affordable and have been universally designed to meet the needs of the population. There's policies and implementation actions. Policy 9.4, expand housing options to accommodate the county's senior population who prefer to age in place and people with special needs. Implementation action, universal design options. Don't need to read that. That's what this project does. Interesting note, design review. Include, this is the policy of the plan that's now 7 years old. Include innovative, affordable housing concepts and guidelines in the documents used by the design advisory panel in its review of projects. I'm not sure that that's ever been done. If it is, I'm not aware where it is or how I would find it. Sustaining established communities. Opportunities for limited, compatible infill development, such as senior housing for residents wishing to downsize but stay in their communities. These are just a few of the policies that are in the general plan, and the comprehensive zoning was adopted by the county council after they adopted the general plan to implement those policies. And part of the zoning is to allow for, in the R20 district, these senior housing projects as infill development. So I think as you review the design of the development, it would help if we could keep in mind that the county's policy is to encourage higher density infill development in these very limited number of projects that can actually still find 5 acres in the out parcels of Columbia. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the panel. The project site for Jordan Overlook is 5.45 acres and is zoned R20, which accommodates age-restricted housing as a conditional use. Jordan Overlook proposes an age-restricted community consisting of 21 lots with 500-square-foot community center. The Department of Planning and Zoning has received numerous public comments regarding this development. These comments have been forwarded along to the panel members and the applicant. The Department of Planning and Zoning would like to request the DDAP evaluate the revised design per comments made by the panel at the November 28th, 2018 DAP meeting. The comments from that meeting consisted of addressing stormwater management to alleviate concerns from flooding in the area. A cul-de-sac was recommended as being a more appropriate road layout and would allow better truck and delivery van access. The character of the townhomes were considered out of place relative to the community. Age-restricted single-family detached homes were preferred. The community center appeared insignificant and not centrally located. Moving the center to the end of the street was favored. Landscaping should be included with more evergreens for screening, as forested areas were being removed due to a proposed drainage swell. Thank
you. So if I could just make just a few comments. I think it's important for the DAP as you review this project to look at it from the perspective of this is a recommendation that ultimately is going to ultimately come to the Department of Planning and Zoning, but it's really going to be forwarded to the hearing examiner. And so I looked at the criteria that the DAP should consider, and there are 6 points that, deal with the design of buildings, circulation, landscaping, the architecture, the style, the materials, open space, design of exterior lighting, and principles of sustainability and green design. But it seems to me that the most prominent standard of review for the DAP to consider is this one, the building scale and massing in relation to and compatible with the surrounding area and with significant and contextual adjacencies. And so this is, I counted up, this is the fifth age-restricted project that is coming to, that has come to DAP. So if you recall, you reviewed one on 216 that was surrounded by residential, and the issue there was, should the roads interconnect, and how should the units relate to the adjacent single-family residential? Bethany Glen, a much different kind of a project, much larger, with the ability to move density and units around. The smaller one located up in Lisbon that you saw probably 6 months ago, something like that. And then the one in King's Contrivance that's directly across from the Village Center, but it backs up to single-family detached residential. So I think as you consider this project, I think the important thing is to provide some guidance to the hearing examiner on why you believe this site is different than the other ones that you reviewed. And what makes it different, is it the size of the property? Is it the fact that it's completely surrounded by residential? So just to provide some better guidance for the hearing examiner that talks about the context of this project within the surrounding single-family residential. So,
thank you, Doug. Let me just comment on, Joe, on your dissertation about the plan. I don't think there's anybody on this panel that disagrees with the context of that and the direction that this is how things should be and how we should design infill projects. Two things. My first observation was, I'm glad to see that you went back and looked at the options that we discussed. Unfortunately, in my opinion, even though you incorporated these options, it still doesn't really resolve the issue of how this project relates to its context. I understand the goal of the 20 units, and I understand all that. But there are 20 units is too many, and 20 is enough, but now you ask for 21. My sense is that this project, as an infill project, and in context with the general plan, you can do small single-family homes that meet this criteria. Trying to put 20 or 21 units on here just to meet the age-restricted criteria as a conditional use, I don't think is valid. And I don't think this is the appropriate solution for this site. And I open it up to the rest of the panel.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think Val hit the nail on the head. Those other projects are much larger scale. Generally speaking, except for the one I think out in Lisbon,
yeah,
they're all surrounded by, on at least one side of the entire site, by a major thoroughfare road, or even on two sides of the site. For instance, Bethany Glen is surrounded by Bethany and Route 99, and then the other part of the development is actually somewhat buried in the community. But the difference there is this is just surrounded. Your site is surrounded by a residential community. Your site is so much smaller, and the density, as my colleague is saying, I think is inappropriate. When I look at your submission on the architecture, you get there's some nice feel to the buildings architecturally, but when I look at the single family homes that you have in your package, which really none of them even, this doesn't even apply to that design, but architecturally this would fit into the neighborhood. This single family, low slung, you know, design. But when I just looked at it, you're not going to get 21 units or 20 units on the site that you're trying to achieve. When you go to the townhouses or the villas and everything else you're doing, the scale, proportion, and the fact that it's buried so far into the community and you're surrounded on all sides by single families, I don't feel it being appropriate, my opinion.
I think I concur. I probably spent more time looking at this and going out looking at the site than almost anything else we've ever done. I think that, as the planning director said, and I was going to actually read the section that Val did read about us recommending building scale and massing, relationship and compatibility with the surrounding area, and significantly, the appropriate responses to existing conditions of vegetation, grading, and stormwater management. With all the other issues aside, just looking at this from those last three elements, you're not going to be able to save virtually any vegetation on this site when you get done grading it. the change in the water table, whatever trees you manage to save up there at the far end, is going to wind up killing those trees. We see it happen time and again. It doesn't meet the open space requirements of 400 square feet per unit, which is close to 15,000 square feet of recreational open space, which must be on land 10% grade or less. The open space you have up at the top of the site is, by my calculation, ranges between 10 and 12% slope, and you can't change that because you're proposing to save those trees. So I think from a scale standpoint, from its context within the community, stormwater, you're going to take out all of these trees on the south edge and put in saplings to replace them after you put a ditch between you and the neighbors. There's just so many things that are just borderline about this whole concept of trying to get 20 or 21 houses in here. That I just don't, I think you really need to look at it in terms of the existing zoning.
This is the existing zoning.
No, you're asking for a conditional age restriction.
That is existing zoning. That use is permitted as a matter of right, provided you meet the conditions.
Well, I don't think you've met the conditions.
Okay, well, that's fair.
As a landscape architect, as my colleague Bob has indicated, I have the same concerns, so I'm not going to repeat them. But what's also unique about this site is that it is above everybody else. So when you build the two stories and then expose the basement, you know, for the walkout so that you don't have to do so much grading, you really get that feel of three stories. So when I think you were quoting from the plan, the 2030 plan, that the state and the county is looking to provide housing of different types and smaller homes for seniors. I would question whether that's even the case here. It seems like with the footprint of the duplexes, and given that it's two stories with probably a finished area, they're actually larger than probably what most people were even leaving behind in terms of a single family. So again, I have the same concerns that it just is out of character with this particular area of the county because of the fact that so much vegetation is going to be removed, and then also the topography of the site being higher than the surrounding area.
Looking for the stormwater management standpoint, I was looking at your swales at the perimeter. Are they bioswales or grass swales?
Around the perimeter?
Yeah, the swales that you have in the perimeter.
In the perimeter, there's conveyance. Swales just for conveyance. The quality management.
Internal with the microbios, okay. I was concerned about that with the trees and how you're going to install that, and so if they're conveyance, and are you providing any quantity management in this project?
We've not been asked so far. I will mention, regardless of which plan comes in, whether age restricted or traditional R20, the 10-lot subdivision went through required the same perimeter. The perimeter controls you showed are a remnant of the 10-lot site, but we were just showing what was asked from Development Engineering Division. If Development Engineering Division would allow us to pull that stormwater management closer to the units, or just the drainage issue itself away from the perimeter, then the trees would remain, would have a better chance of remaining. That was what the was born out of review through the entire county process. That project died at sometime around developer agreement, so it went through full review and it was about to enter signature process, to my understanding.
I understand. I mean, if it's I was just concerned about your stormwater management in the perimeter. I agree also with the panel about the densities, how the units fit with the single house in the perimeter. So I mean, I'm not gonna repeat them. So other than that, those are my comments.
Any further comments from the panel? Anybody care to make a motion regarding this?
I'd like to make a motion that the applicant resubmit the project under the existing R20 zoning for the 10 units total, and resubmit it for review.
R20 20 zoning allows 11 units here, so it would be an 11-unit project.
Fair enough.
And it, I don't think the standard R20 doesn't come to DAP, right?
Correct. Yeah, the only reason that this is before DAP is because it's an age-restricted conditional use here. And so per the DAP requirements, they've met the second meeting. So from this point on, it's their opportunity if they choose to take it to the hearing examiner.
We'll just strike coming back from my last.
Yeah. Okay.
Those in favor, second on that.
Right? I would second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you again.
And we also have our elections this evening. Okay. Just want to make sure that wasn't overlooked. Thanks. What's this? Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
So I guess that's it, but I got a question. So based on that, they both have two options. They can still proceed and try to put that in, but they've got no doubt. This option goes for 10 years. But what they have is this.
So they can utilize this existing right now.
The
previous one never got signed, so it was never recorded. Yeah. Never completed. So they can go back and do that. Or they can take what they have as a hearings examiner and take their chances on getting the answer.
But they would, but then everybody was, then we would be sitting there with the obvious they did not have twice and didn't request.
Exactly.
No guarantee with that.
Right. The hearings examiner will know that they've been here and they'll have all of